Hello and welcome to Swissinfo's programme. I'm Jo Fay. Industry 4.0 is a phrase with a lot of buzz around it today. It's short for the fourth industrial revolution we're now experiencing. 3D printers, artificial intelligence and robots are revolutionising the way we manufacture things. But new technologies are also threatening to put thousands of low-skilled workers out of a job. Is Industry 4.0 just a means to make companies richer, or can it be harnessed to do good around the world?
We fundamentally believe that some of these products will absolutely change people's lives. At the moment, what we find is that there's a very low take-up of the existing assistive aids, partly because of quality, partly because of inappropriate, and partly because of price.
That was Tarun Sarwal of the Swiss-run International Committee of the Red Cross, or ICRC. He's convinced that the fourth industrial revolution can help those most in need of cutting-edge technology, such as disabled people.
We're involved in conflict, and there are mines, a big issue with mines, but also armaments, etc., so people are constantly getting affected. And so we had a program which concentrates on prosthetics, and we find that most of the people that we work with are in rural areas. The idea was that, are we catering enough to the needs, and to come up with exactly what is it that people need and then innovate and invent new products for people with disabilities.
Swissinfo journalist Anand Chandrasekhar went along to an ICRC-run makeathon in Bangalore, India's Silicon Valley. The goal for the ultra-smart people gathered there was to make life easier for people with disabilities.
Bangalore is a techie's paradise. It has a reputation for combining a vibrant startup culture with information technology know-how. The southern Indian city is therefore no stranger to crowdsourcing events like hackathons and makeathons, where enterprising tech types brainstorm and come up with ideas for new products and businesses. The ICRC is trying to tap into this innovative culture and come up with affordable solutions for the disabled. On offer are prizes worth $50,000 for the three best inventions. But the real goal is to commercialize the best prototypes and have them readily available to disabled people. To get a scale of the problem in India, more than 1 in 7 Indians are disabled. Over 70% of them live in rural areas. That's almost twice the entire Swiss population. I'm in a maker space called Workbench that is attached to a downtown metro station. The cavernous space is buzzing with participants discussing ideas or tinkering with prototypes. Some are waiting for their turn at the 3D printer in the corner. And even though it's December, table fans are blowing cool air to prevent both participants and machines from overheating. Someone who could do with some cooling down is Nekram Upadhyay from Delhi, who's busy working on his prototype with a blowtorch. He has first-hand experience working with the disabled.
I work in a hospital. So I come across with so many people having problems like a spinal cord injury, like arthritis cases, people with cerebral palsy, people with muscular dystrophy and multiple sclerosis. This different kind of people, they need, you know, such devices.
Working with patients made him realize the limitations of the medical care on offer. He was convinced that the gadgets and not medical rehabilitation held the answer to their problems, at least in the short term.
So doctors and therapists, they still work on muscle power to gain, and then this is not going to come. They still remain a person with disability. So how to solve a problem alternatively? So design some technical gadgets to help the person to do these activities, rather working on medical aspect, clinical aspect, which is not going to come. Which is unlimited time you can work on, you know, getting your muscle strength back. But after injury or illness, a person becomes disabled. So how you make them independent through these small gadgets?
Upadhyay is working on a Swiss Army knife-style universal grip, which can be fitted with tools needed for various daily tasks like writing, eating and surfing the web. But he's careful to ensure that the product is practical and affordable for the rural market.
So one device solving so many problems, and it's very small, light, low cost. So the material is going to be used in a way that you can repair it. It's not that much sophisticated, no electricity needed. No high-tech material needed, just very low-tech and low-cost material.
Boyish-looking Cameron Norris from England is also looking at cutting costs. He wants to bring customized 3D-printed prosthetics within the reach of rural people. But he warns against the dangers of chasing the cheapest solution. Cameron feels that the real benefit for India's disabled lies in access to the right product at the right price, and not just the cheapest one. Right now, their choices are pretty limited.
The models that are available, they have two choices. Either very affordable open source prosthetics, like the Enable prosthetics, or they have very high-end, very functional, but very expensive prosthetics like the iLimb Digits. So the iLimb Digits starts at something like $38,000 and goes anything up to $100,000, depending on the level of customization you need. And the Enable hands, they don't actually have a functional benefit. So at first, the amputees who receive them, they're very passionate, very happy. They have this prosthesis, they think it's going to solve their problem, but it doesn't.
Cameron's idea for amputees involves taking a 3D scan of the person's hand, designing a custom prosthetic remotely, and delivering the 3D-printed final product to the customer. Win or lose, he's already lined up the first Indian beneficiary of his novel idea.
He was in a terrible accident. He lost both his legs, both his hands. So we now have a 3D laser scan of his limb, which we've converted into a 3D model, which we're incorporating into the prototype for this event, which we're going to provide to him at the end of the Megathon.
Another entrepreneur who's making high-tech more affordable is Soham Ganatra from Mumbai, who looks more like a polite schoolboy than a game changer. His team is working on a brain-computer interface for wheelchairs. This will allow paralyzed users to control their chairs using brainwaves. The technology is already available, but is prohibitively expensive. Even though Soham's prototype is around 10 times cheaper, it's still beyond the means of the rural needy. He's exploring ways to subsidize the cost.
We plan to give it at a very low cost or something in charitable, but then again, if it comes to the sustainability of our own venture, then we plan it via the CSR models or the various other crowdfunding models that we can raise money for the cost of the prototype that we make and to give it out at a very low price for the rural India. So we've been talking to a couple of them, but we just need to finalize how we can go ahead, and we're finding out more people who can help us support in this initiative.
But the harsh reality of rural India can seem light years away from 3D printed body parts and brainwave operated wheelchairs. Mohan Sundaram of the Association for People with Disability, who's wheelchair bound himself, is aware of the challenges.
What could you do on a wheelchair in rural India today? You can navigate inside the house, you can navigate outside the house, you can probably self-propel yourself for about 200 meters either way. What do you do beyond that? Right? In urban spaces, your places where you work and place where you live are well connected by transport. Go to rural India. I'm in a village. I will not have a livelihood there unless I'm an agriculturist, say for example. I will have to travel on public transport to go over to a place which is a town maybe about 20, 30 kilometers away, work and then come back. Impossible. The transport system is not geared to transport you. So the dignity of life of a physically challenged person is very low. There is nothing that would help build his self-esteem, self-confidence.
Mohan and his organization are disability partners for the Enable Makeathon, and inventors use their expertise to refine their prototypes. However, despite his involvement in prosthesis and gadget development, Mohan believes that gadgets and aids are useless without the appropriate infrastructure.
Even if, let's say, the government gave me a wheelchair, what do you do with a wheelchair? Does it help me become productive? The answer is no. So there are two parts. So the first part is to give personal aids and appliances to help the mobility of the person. The second part is to invest in infrastructure and bring infrastructure solutions that will allow these people to use their personal mobility solutions. They have to be in tango. Otherwise, just one doesn't work.
the limitations are not lost on Dario Wies, a mechanical engineer from Switzerland, who has been invited to mentor the inventors. Dario is one of the organizers of a sports competition called Cybathlon, where disabled athletes kitted with robotic technology compete to accomplish a set of challenges.
It's very different how a disability affects a person either living in Switzerland or in India. The focus on affordability is very important here in India, especially for in the rural areas. And it one should not only concern the product price, but also all the other costs like maintenance and everything. So the whole life cycle of a product maybe has to be totally different, because it should be mechanically simple so that not a lot of maintenance work has to be done. Whereas maybe in Switzerland we can focus a little bit more on functionality.
But despite targeting different end users, both Cybathlon and Enable Makeathon are different sides of the same coin.
So on one hand, at Enable Makeathon, the affordability is a big issue. And on the other hand, at Cybathlon, it's more like really the latest developments in robotics that are presented. But the goal that we have in common is to trigger useful developments to help people with disabilities.
The fourth industrial revolution is not just about technology, but also about processes. Old ways of relying on traditional R&D to find solutions is giving way to reaching out to the public for innovative ideas. And organizations like the ICRC that cater to the bottom of the pyramid are looking at crowdsourcing for cost-effective solutions.
Certainly what I've seen so far, I don't think that anybody with this little money could have got such a broad expanse of solutions. And we think that it's not just us as ICRC, the many developing countries and also the government in this country, they could be, in fact, customers for these devices. Yeah. So I think that we would try and find ways in which we can do this, not just in disability, but in water and sanitation, in the way that we provide, you know, people kits when they're displaced, etc.
Cost effectiveness is also something that is critical to end users, like the disabled in rural India. There is no safety net like health insurance or state welfare that can bear the cost of expensive devices that are taken for granted in the West. The entire cost has to be borne by the individual, which puts most conventional solutions out of reach. Mohan, from the Association for People with Disability, wants crowdsourcing to fill the gap in the market. He has high expectations of the Makeathon participants and has given them a fitting challenge: to come up with products that offer 80% of the functionality of a high-end machine at a mere 10% of the cost. Will they be able to do it?
That report by Anand Chandrasekhar. Visit swissinfo.ch to check out the story and video on the Enable Makeathon event. Thanks for listening. And thanks to studio technician Jakob Stoller. This programme was produced by Anand Chandrasekhar. Work it, make it, do it. Makes us harder, better, faster, stronger. That don't kill me. Can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up, man. Cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right, man. Cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night, man. That's how long I've been on ya.